The epistle appointed for this, the fourth Sunday after Easter, is taken from the epistle of St. James, the first epistle of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, 'Where art thou going?' But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak of his own, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come, he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you." Thus far this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning, the various points that need to be pointed out to you will probably take up most of the time that is allotted to speak. The first thing I wish to bring to your attention, the little palm crosses that now have been blessed for three times. For Palm Sunday was the first blessing that they received, if you recall. The second blessing was received last week when we celebrated the feast of St. Peter the Hermit, and now also last week when the third blessing came up when we blessed them on the day of the finding of the Holy Cross. So there's been three special blessings for these. Now for you that may not be familiar with this, these crosses are to be taken and placed. You can take more than one. Take what you need. I think there's enough to go around. It looks like, I think there's plenty that we have. These crosses are to be placed around the house, on the grounds. If you plant them outside around the grounds, I suggest you take a little piece of aluminum foil and probably wrap this up nicely and neatly and simply bury it in the ground. These are special blessings against tempest, against storm, against attacks of the enemy, the devil, and everything that needs to be done away with. And that reminds me, while I'm speaking of this, because some of you may not be aware of it, it's burning in the one of the two candles that's burning in the Holy Relics Chapel is the perpetual candle that we burn here for against storm. And any storm of any sort whatsoever, storm for us here, of course, and storm for all of you in your homes and your houses and wherever you may be, as protected. We try to give out as much protection as we can from this point of life. So take the little palm crosses and use them as you know how. This morning, being the first Sunday of the month, and Father Francis and Brother Lewis are both away to Montgomery, so we will not have the usual 5 o'clock Sunday Vespers and benediction. We have the rosary procession here every evening, for those of you that live close by, at 10 minutes after 7. We go to the shrine and we say the rosary. I will speak on the rosary just in a moment. After this Mass this morning, there will be the first Sunday of the month meeting for oblates. If you just gather to one side of the church over here, Father Sebastian will be here and attend to the needs of the meeting. However, this morning he will be just a few minutes late because he has a first confession this morning, and so he will be a little late getting here. He had the confession of Matthew Kelly, who will make his first Holy Communion next week. Pray for this young man as he approaches the altar, the altar of God almost, to receive his Lord and Savior for the first time in his life. I recommend very strongly that you read the day's bulletin, both front and back. There is a message on both sides of the page. And I suggest very urgently that you heed the words of what's on the other, on the back side of today's bulletin. I urge you to do so, because in these days and times, I present to you the critical need of being always on the alert, always prepared, always ready to do what has to be done in case of whatever emergency there is, whether it's physical, but especially and more so spiritual. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Due to the ceremony of crowning of the Blessed Mother after Mass next Sunday, time might be a little bit short. And I recommend that we turn our attention to Mother. Mother, today, does not have, for whatever reasons, and we know most of them, if not all of them, Mother today has fallen somewhat into disregard, disrepute, and somewhat careless, perhaps, in her duty in raising children. In the world today, Mother is not looked upon with the same dignity that once upon a time she enjoyed. The position of mother cannot be calculated in its importance. And we must probably put blame where blame has to be, and that is that mother today has wandered away from the image that she is supposed to present to her children And what is that image? It is nothing more, nothing less than the image that was presented to us from our own mother, the Blessed Mother. As we look about the world and look at Mother today, and we say we place blame, generally speaking, the image that is presented to, has been presented to us by the Blessed Mother, to what extent is there a comparison, a reasonable comparison between the image that our Blessed Mother gave us and the image that we receive from Mother? What about motherly modesty? How can we expect the children to be modest when Mother may not be modest? Can we imagine the Blessed Mother appearing as some mothers appear today? Modesty is a virtue. There is nothing in reality that is more beautiful than the modesty of a woman. There's something sacred about it. There is probably very little that is as unattractive as the immodesty of a woman. The modesty of a woman can lift one up, whereas the immodesty of a woman will inevitably pull one down. And our world today can hardly be pulled down any further than it is, than it has already been pulled down. And the horrible part of it all is that today, immodesty, particularly of a woman, is looked upon as the virtue. The more daring the woman, the more virtuous is she in the eyes of the world. When was the last time, beloved people, that any of us turned the television on and looked at modesty? If you are modest on television, it's turned off, or the channel is changed. And the more immodest the picture, the more it draws attention. Is this not the case, generally speaking? There's nothing more beautiful than the modesty of a woman. Can you, with the absolutely wildest imagination, imagine the Blessed Mother appearing in public or any place for that matter, even around the house, even in the privacy of our own home. Can you imagine her looking like so many women look today? It boggles the imagination. How revolting, how totally revolting it would be to see that woman look like what we see so much in the marketplace. And yet she is the one that we are asked to imitate. And if we look at the little statue that we will crown next Sunday with reverence and veneration and love and acceptance, as we look at that little statue, can we imagine it to be vested in any other way? I admit, I would have to admit, to be honest, that we, our fashions have changed. And I accept the fact that our fashions have changed, but I cannot accept the fact that the fashions that ignore modesty and good taste. Therefore, let us, when we look at her, in all of her simplicity and beauty, clothed as she is before us, as we look at her here in this church, standing over the altar, guarding, looking after us, can we imagine her to look any other way? We would be revolted by it. And my blessed people, yes, if we look around today, we do see her. Unfortunately, vested in other ways. I make it a purpose to keep all of the church catalogs that come in to us from year to year. And we see the statues that are being peddled in the catalogs. And we look at these of today as compared to those of yesterday. And the statues have become, in quite a few instances, not all, the statues have become grotesque. And in some cases, we look at the crucifix. The crucifix looks like a piece of bubble gum pulled in four directions and attached to a piece of wood. Does that inspire devotion or love or veneration or anything that is decent? And yet, year by year, you can see it happening. The statues become farther and farther away from the ideal of once upon a time. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and it's Mary's Day. And we, our little family, will gather in our little church, and we will pay her homage, and we will ask her to protect us, to protect our families, to protect our home, to protect our house, to protect our children. Pray for your children. I will repeat that. Pray for your children. They are exposed to dangers that are absolutely frightening. Pray for your children. Look at them carefully and guard over them and exercise the authority that is yours to exercise. And children, do not look at your parents as the enemy, which today it is fashionable, very fashionable. It inspires peer admiration. The more you hate your parents, the more acceptable you are to those around you. That is the way. But remember one thing, children. Were it not for the love of your parents, were it not for the devotion of your parents, you would not be in this room right now. Did you hear me? Therefore, be grateful to what your parents have given you, cooperating with God. They gave you life. Did you hear me? You might think that I get a little severe at times, and I do, advisedly, because from where we are, from one day to the next, the telephone calls come in and they are a little more urgent with each new day. The letters come in and the pleadings of the letters are ever more urgent as each new day comes around. The people are scared. They are frightened. Yes, we hear, I've used the expression myself, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And yet we have every reason to be afraid. But it must be a holy fear, one that trusts in God. My beloved people, it is our faith that we must maintain, no matter at what cost or what expense. Our faith, yes, we have to know. We have to know in order to love, and we have to serve because we love. At the same time, our faith does not depend on information. It depends on something beyond information. You recall in Scripture, our blessed Lord one day was walking down the street, and there was a huge crowd that surrounded him. and pressed upon him. There was naturally quite a bit of hubbub, noise and talking and clamoring as they were walking down the street. And someone, unnoticed, would only crawl. She was afraid, but she dared. And she said to herself, if I but just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So she did. And our Lord quickly stopped and said, who is it that has touched me? And the apostles said, well, my dear Lord, look at all these people that are pressing against you and touching you and bumping against you and all that. How do you ask, who is it that has touched me? He knew, because in that touch there was a contact that was made, and he felt grace flowing from him. And we know the rest of the story. My dear people, that woman, how much did she know information-wise about Christ? She knew, I think you could safely say, nothing. She had heard, probably, of the great and wonderful things that he had done. But other than that, what did she know about him? And all she did, all she knew, all she was able to do was simply to say to herself, I believe if I touch, I shall be healed. And what was the immediate, after a little bit of conversation which took place between the two, what did our Lord say to her as he said to all others? Thy faith has made thee whole. What else is there for us? The simple, simple expression of faith. So therefore, as we go from one day to the next and see the urgency of what is going on, it is that atmosphere of faithlessness that even attacks those who ought to know better and who do know better. Faithlessness now itself is fashionable. Therefore, let us pray for the gift of faith. Our Lord when he went out to pick his apostles, his 12 apostles, did he go to the well-instructed ones, to the doctors, to the lawyers, to the prominent ones, to the wealthy? For his 12, he could have. They were there for the picking. But what was their predisposition and all of that which they knew? Yet he went to perhaps the lowest class of men, the most ignorant class of men available. And he spent his time teaching them. At times, he became a bit exasperated with them because they were slow in hearing and slow in learning and slower yet in remembering. But they were the ones that he chose to be his followers. And they were a bunch of frightened, scared boys, men, who ran and hid and locked doors behind themselves for fear lest they undergo the same thing that happened to their master, who now was already dead and buried. And two of them even were going down the street talking about it. And all of a sudden, unexpected, something happened. And they burst forth. And they went to the ones that they were afraid of before. And they spoke up to them and spoke out to them and dared them. And they spoke with an eloquence that was never before heard of, especially from them. These are the mysteries of our holy religion. These are the things that are being attacked by those who, for whatever reason, do not know. Whether it is protecting their own position of unbelief or misformed belief or whatever else, people who point in this direction only to keep her from looking in this direction. Belief is the thing that is up for question today. Nobody wants to believe. And if you do believe, you're put in the same category as those others who are given to immodesty and so on. It all works together. Why? Blessed people, why are you and us? Why are you here right now? Why are you here right now? In the full realization of a presence that is hopefully, and not hopefully, that is in this church, and that you sit there and you stand there and you kneel there and you pray there. With reverence and love and understanding, because do not underestimate the very likely fact that you, by the grace of God, have been touched and that you understand. And that you see, this is a great possibility, a great probability, and almost a certainty. And under these conditions, will you allow me to say, do not be afraid. God is love. God is hope. God is trust. And when you come here, when you come here, it is our hope that you are at the fountain of where love and hope and trust and faith and purity come forth from. And that each Sunday, by the grace of God, you receive a drop of that most holy water that will give you the peace and the serenity that is due you because you love. My beloved people, this then, by the grace of God, will protect you and feed you and nourish you until the next time you come here. This spot right here is the place for instruction. And this, as is pointed out in today's bulletin, this is a schoolhouse. And you come here, we come here to learn. And it is the place of the teacher, an awesome spot indeed. It is a responsibility of great importance, awesome in itself, for the teacher to be true and honest and as accurate as is possible. Teachers today are rather scarce. And as a consequence, when you go to other places where the people have forgotten about presence, where the people have been told there is nothing up there, where the people have been told that this has all been a medieval superstition that has been promoted over the years, do not believe it. And if you go into their houses of worship, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that reverence is gone? Is it any wonder? So as you come here, we give to you, we the monks and the nuns, the sisters, the work that we have to do is beyond thinking about. It is for us to see to it that you will be given the grace to save your immortal souls. What else is there for us to give? God bless you. God keep you. God preserve you. And keep you from all the harm that is always out there. And it has become such that we cannot avoid it without the grace of God operating in us and protecting us, beloved people.